At $200, a Super Nintendo setup costs twice as much as the old system. For the money, the company promises better pictures, sound, and adventure. Now you're playing with power, superpower.
You're the king, I tell you! You're the king!
Only for Super NES.
You're listening to the SNES Podcast with your host, Soul Blazer.
Hello, folks. This is the Super NES Podcast, episode number 233. As always, these are your favorite co-hosts. I'm Greg. He is Joe.
Hello.
And we're looking at a game that was, I think, technically my pick, although I'm sure it's a game that Joe probably would have gotten around to picking eventually himself sooner or later, but because he actually had more experience with this game than I did. We were going to do a tie-in with the recent WrestleMania event by covering wrestling game, but unfortunately, real life complications, etc., kind of delayed the releasing of this episode. So apologies about that. But we're looking at one of the wrestling games system we have not yet already covered in previous episodes. We're taking a look at Saturday Night Slam Masters by Capcom. I remember playing this game like in arcades a couple of times. I never played it. I never played the home versions of it. Was your history mostly with Genesis port of this game, Joe?
Yeah, I've never seen this cabinet in an arcade. I don't even think up in Fun Spot there's an arcade of Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Probably not, because like while it was a popular game at the time and did spawn sequels, which I probably heard a bit. I really think most people, Capcom themselves, have kind of forgotten about the franchise these days. So
yeah. So my experience was with the Genesis port, and I have fond memories of it. That's a little, you know, rose-tinted glasses compared to going back and playing this, but that's getting a bit ahead of ourselves. But yeah, I remember having a blast with friends. That's one of the things I will say for the Genesis version and the Super Nintendo version is multiplayer is the best way to play this game. But yeah, it's always fun, you know, to be able to have a beat-em-up slash wrestling game where you can kind of just play with your friends and just have fun. And this fit the bill, especially in my Genesis days when I really didn't have much to offer people other than, hey, I got Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, and Mortal Kombat 1 has blood. Yay!
So, for sure. But, as you just alluded to, this was a wrestling game, although it's not as realistic as many of the wrestling games. It really is like a fighting game engine slapped over with, like, wrestling dressing, pretty much, as far as the actual gameplay goes, which is good or bad depending upon how you look at it, and you what you're looking for in actual like wrestling game per se. But this game came out in the arcade in 1993, definitely during some of the peak about the wrestling games like the time period. So in Japan, the game was known as Muscle Bomber: The Body Explosion. Which, of course, you know, another like cool sounding Japanese game. I'm not sure why the rename for the Western market. And Joe, maybe I'm sure you know more about this. When I think wrestling, I was always aware of wrestling being on Friday night and Sunday night. I really wasn't aware of it being on Saturday night, which is why I wasn't sure why Capcom picked this name.
So WWF, back in the 80s, around WrestleMania 3, got into a TV agreement with NBC. So when SNL was off season, the season ended, they needed something to fill that Saturday night spot. So they came up with Saturday Night's Main Event. And the first one was huge because it was a rematch of WrestleMania 3. You got Hogan versus Andre, which people would have paid for before that. They were giving it away for free. I think it still sits as the highest rated TV show of all time. It was something like 9 million viewers.
It
blew up. I mean, and that's just, you know, wrestling was huge at that point. But the one that really comes to mind, because I don't think Saturday Night Main Event is what inspired this. WCW used to have a Saturday night show, but it was just, you know, WCW, I think it's like, literally was like WCW Saturday Nights or whatever. It was something really generic. It was like a 1 hour, you know, syndicated show. It wasn't live. And that ran for many years for WCW. So I think, if anything, that'd be more the inspiration here.
Okay, that makes sense.
Based on the presentation, they were definitely drawing from the WWF experience versus the WCW experience.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. So, yeah, I always forget there was another league back then. It's like, because you always like hear about, like, you know, kind of like in the old days, like the old days, like for the NFL merger, the merger league had like two leagues. Right. People attended, like, one league always overshadowed the other. So people remember that. So, but okay, yeah, that makes sense. So this wrestling game was notable for a few reasons when it came out. One, it used the very powerful at the time CP system hardware for the Capcom design, like the arcade cab, so the game looked gorgeous like the arcades. And the processor was also powerful enough to be able to handle everything that this game called for, which I get into how the game plays here in a moment. Another reason it was famous was because the character designs for the game was done by the famous manga artist, Tetsuo Haro, who's probably best known for his work at Fist of the North Star.
Yeah.
So, they didn't use his designs on the designs like an arcade cab, weirdly, for some reason. But the poster that they sent out to, the poster that they used to advertise the game did use his artwork. And his artwork is present in the console version of the game, at least as well, so...
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at the characters, you know, they have that resemblance of North Star, especially if you're a fan of Fist of the North Star.
Yeah. I've played some of the games. I've never actually seen the anime, but of course, I've seen very little anime, so that's going to come as a shock to anybody.
Yeah. So, like, one of the characters, we'll get slightly ahead of ourselves, but Biff Slamkovic. Literally looks like the main character from Fist of the North Star. He just has a red bandana and some red tassels on his arm, but the art is almost like identical.
Well, speaking about crossovers, that's another reason this game is famous, because Capcom also borrowed characters from two other biggest franchises of the day, Street Fighter and Final Fight. So all kind of like crossover stuff present like in this game. So
yeah, we got Mayor Hagar.
Yes. Well, actually, whether or not that's – I was going to mention this later on, but since you brought it up, that's the difference between the American versus Japanese version of the game, because according to the Japanese version of the game, this takes place before he became mayor, but according to the English version of the game, it's after he's mayor. So
gotcha.
It depends upon which version that you want to like read. So
yeah.
But in any event, yes, same guy. His daughter also makes an appearance too. Also, which is cool. So
yeah.
So the arcade game came out in 1993, July. It was popular enough to be followed by two sequels. There was Muscle Bomber Duel Ultimate Team Battle, which came out later on that year, and then the third game, Ring of Destruction Slam Masters 2, in 1994. Neither of those games, however, were ported to home systems. So you will play them. You'll find the arcade rods, play them in MAME, that kind of stuff. So the game was popular enough to get ported not only to the Super NES and Genesis, but in Japan it also got ported to the FM computer system, which was a very popular Japanese-only computer system that they had there like for a while. So there was actually three versions of this game like for home ports. So So for all this happened done and out of the way, Joe, you know a bit more about the subject material than I do. Why don't you explain to us like how the game actually plays?
So, all right. So the controls can be a little convoluted. So you have Y to attack, B to jump, and A is to pin. All of the other controls that you're going to deal with in this game all are based on this foundation. You use different combinations of the previous mentioned action buttons and the control pad. You could do different grabs, perform body slams, shake out, you know, from a grab, jump out of the ring, jump on the top ropes. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I would recommend if you are going to emulate this, get the manual and read it, because the manual actually will map out all those moves for the wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a little easier to kind of get a grasp for it. But that being said, this is what I was talking about, where, like, coming back to this, I had to take off the rose-tinted glasses because I really felt like doing some of the moves just didn't, like, it didn't do what I was trying to do. So, like, there's, for example, like, I would try to, like, press the control pad toward the opponent and press the attack button to execute a grab. I did this, I don't know how many times in a row, and I'd grab him once, maybe twice. Like, it just seemed like sheer luck. Like, I felt like I was playing a fighting slash wrestling game with D&D mechanics. Like, the dice kept getting rolled, and I wasn't getting a high enough number. And it was just weird because, you know, I'm used to, like, it's Capcom, like a polished fighter. Which, you know what? If you play this as a fighter, this is a great little game. If you try to play this as a wrestling game with the mechanics that you are supposed to use, that's where it kind of falls apart.
I think that's a great way to describe it. I was going to say something similar about that myself later on down the road, but I think you very, very, very elegantly hit the nail on the head here. It's like, as I was saying before, this is a fighting game dressed up like a wrestling game, basically. So it's like, You can't approach it as a wrestling game. It's like this is meant to appeal to people who don't really like wrestling, but still want to get into the scene somehow a little bit because how popular wrestling was at the time, like whatnot. I think so. It's just a fighting game with that baggage.
Yeah, and like my best advice for this game is just button mash. you can wiggle your controller however you want, hit those attack buttons. But just mash it, because let me tell you, the computer is still programmed for the arcade. It is there to steal your quarters, but there are no quarters. So it is cheap, 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 cheap. I really want to know how far you got in this, but, I eventually had to, I think I got 4 fights in and that was it. I couldn't really continue beyond that. I ended up having to use Game Genie to essentially have infinite life so I could get to the end. And you know what? It really wasn't worth it either, because you don't get much for it. So yeah, I mean, this is the controls, the execution of the game, like playing the game the way the game wants you to play is not the way to play the game. You're going to have a miserable experience. But that being said, I also feel like this game isn't a very good one-player game. This game is meant for multiple people. I said, when I played it for the Genesis, I always had a friend over. Like, we play each other. So that immediately eliminates the cheapness of the computer. But here in the Super Nintendo version, if you have a multi-tap, you can do a 4-player rumble, which, we'll get into graphics and all that, but
there's, like, 2 game modes in the game, pretty much. You have the, whatever Joe's talking about, you have single match, where it's a one-on-one fight against the computer, and you also have, Team Battle Royale, where you can either do, 1 to 4 players, and whoever you don't have a human for is played by the AI.
Right. And, like, having 4 people in the ring, with the size of sprites they have, quite honestly was impressive. I did not expect to see that running as well as it did on the Super Nintendo. But, you know, having four friends versus just the one friend playing with you, I think that would be fun and utter chaos. I was able to watch some video because obviously I don't have three friends who want to play this game. but watching video on YouTube, like, I just wanted to, like, get some friends together and play this game for reals with the multi-tap. But, yeah, that's amazing. You know, single player is fine. It's just like any other Capcom fighter. You know, it's the title is like shaped like, you know, a map of the world, kind of a la Street Fighter. And, you know, it points move all over as you go, you know, compete with the different wrestlers. And, you know, ultimately you have your big bad that you have to encounter and beat. It's real simple. There's not a lot there as far as story goes. And, I mean, I pretty much covered the depth of the controls and whatnot. I don't know, man.
It's interesting you mentioned the controls because it's like the arcade, because the controls in the arcade version are pretty simple. You have like three buttons. So you have like your grab attack, your attack button, like your jump button. And it's pretty much it. So, and then you... Each character only has two special attacks. They have the they have their non-grappling technique, like their finisher. That's it. So yeah. I mean, as far as controls go, it was very bare bones.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I know this now from playing it on MAME, but like, in my opinion, the controls were tighter and much more responsive.
They were, yes, arcade version, they did there on that. Yep.
Than they were here. But, you know, I understand things can be lost in translation. And, you know, the CP board was new. So, I don't know. There's things that we could sit there and make excuses for. The reality is it just doesn't control well here on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and I'm surprised about that because it's like, you know, I remember, I remember this game playing pretty well at the arcade. Like, and like the Super NES version uses the same basic control scheme, but the controls just don't feel as tight for some reason. I'm not sure what happened, but it's like if the game functionally looks the same like the arcade version, so it's like I really don't understand why that came up, why that happened, but. But yeah, so I definitely agree with you. The AI is hard. I wasn't able to beat the game like how like save states. But
yep,
if you are good in this game, half an hour is about how long a game takes. Yeah. No matter which mode you're in, so it's not like a very very long game. In Team Battle Royale, your AI opponent is your AI foe fighter is okay. I mean, I play worse AI, but yeah. But like you said, Joe, this game definitely is better off like many of the games of this type. Playing with somebody else, if like you can. So I definitely agree with most of what you're saying. So, I think I may have like cut you up there with like some other thoughts. So go ahead, please.
No, it's all good. I was just gonna like, you know, all the things that you would, you know, normally see in a wrestling game, you can do here, which is great. So like, you can bounce off the ropes, you can climb to the top rope, you can slam your opponent, you know, down onto the mat. You can jump in and out of the ring. You can grab a chair and bash someone in the head with it. So like everything's there.
Right.
Like we've talked about, it just, I don't know, something was lost in translation, literally. And it's unfortunate. Limited options as well. We talked about the two other modes, but like,
very little.
You
can
change the difficulty, which is great that you could change the difficulty. That's always great. But like, then it's just a time limit and then the button configuration and then obviously changing the sound from like stereo to mono. That's it. Oh, and there's a music test. Thank God for that. Except for skipping ahead a little bit. The music isn't that great. But we'll get there.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to bring up, graphics and music, here next. Graphically, this game did carry over pretty well. The game looks pretty good. It looks almost as good as Super NES as does like the arcade version, minus the usual downscaling that you have to make to get an arcade game on a system of the time, of course. But
yeah, absolutely. I put in my notes the graphics are, you know, greatly detailed, the sprites are large. I literally put my notes, transition from arcade to console as far as graphics go was chef's kiss. Yeah. Perfection.
Yeah, there's actually like a big active crowd in the background here. It's actually like yep. cheering, like rooting you on, but it's like the ring feels like a good size. You know, I know some wrestling games I feel kind of cramped, but this game,
right.
actually felt like I had room to do everything that I wanted to do. So, yep. because of four fighters, that ring can get like pretty cramped, but I thought it was like a pretty good size. So, yeah, the character's definitely very large, large sprites, very detailed. I actually disagree with you about the music. I actually like the music. I thought the music did a pretty good job of like. Of typical fighterish sounding music you hear in a game like this, it's not great, but I think it's very appropriate blood pumping fighting / wrestling style music that you expect to hear in a game of this type.
And that's fair, and that is kind of what I have here is that you know it works for what it is, but none of it's memorable to me. And you know we've talked in the past like. SNES games with music that's just not memorable, just that can kind of bring down a game, and it doesn't really do it here because there's more to the game than that, but you know, the music definitely kind of hits it pretty hard.
Right.
In my opinion.
You know, like, I agree with you, so.
But with that said, the sound effects are pretty good, and
yes, they
I
are,
can't yeah. complain. You get grunts from the wrestlers, you get cheers from the crowd, as you were saying. You hear those slams on the mat. Like, it actually feels like you're doing damage to your opponent, which sometimes can not be translated well in a fighting game. And even the announcer says the location of the match. He'll say fight, you lose, you win, or ring out. So, you know, which obviously half of that is in Street Fighter. So why wouldn't they be able to do that? But it's still cool to have it here.
Yeah. Yeah, not great, definitely. So, the roster of fighters I thought was like pretty interesting, actually. I actually thought that some of the rosters, the characters in this game are actually pretty good, I thought, for like a fighting game, like overall. I mean, yeah, it's hurt by the fact the game doesn't control as well as does like an arcade, but at least the fighters at least felt kind of interesting to me because some games they're very much just obviously cookie cutter copies, and like, yes, Capcom did copy some characters over, especially from their other franchises as mentioned before, but at least the fighters had you know, interesting backstories and mechanics, at least at least far as things like that. That we're concerned. And that's one of the few differences between the Genesis version and the Super NES version of the game is that the arcade version had 10 fighters that were selectable, like playable. Only 8 of them are playable. They're playable. The Super NES version of the game for reasons. The Genesis version has all 10. However, the Genesis version does not have, for some reason, Team Battle Royale in it. They replaced that mode instead with a what's it called here? They replaced it with a deathmatch
or something.
Deathmatch mode, yes.
Yeah.
Kind of big difference between the two versions of the game, depending upon what you're looking for, I guess. But I mean, it's like, you know, I'd rather have the Team Battle Royale, or as opposed to like two characters like being active in the roster, because the roster's like pretty good. So, but beyond that, the two versions of the game played pretty much the same. And I thought control of the Genesis version was just sluggish and sloppy Super NES port, much to my surprise.
Yeah, and I didn't go back to the Genesis version because, like I said, rose tinted glasses. Of course, I'm gonna have great memories because I was younger. I don't have hindsight of 30 plus years, whatever, playing video games. But you know, that's why I take what I say about the Genesis one with a grain of salt. Because yeah. Roach tinted glasses. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I was excited to play this. I still entertained playing it. I still enjoyed it. It made me want to play the arcade game, which is probably the biggest takeaway here. If you want to play this game, sure, you could play the Genesis or the Super Nintendo version, but play the arcade game. That's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly, maybe because of rights issues, you're the fact that nobody remembers these games anymore. Capcom's never re-released the games in any format. Play arcade versions or home ports, unfortunately, because it's like, I did not play the sequels. Must Bomber Duo or Mega Destruction, but I do want you to see how they compare it, like vis-a-vis this game. So.
Yeah, and I haven't played the sequels either, so it's definitely going to be something I have to reach out and check out.
As far as which version of the game is like superior, obviously, like we just said, we think the arcade version plays the best. But as far as the home ports goes, like I said, I would give a slight nod over to the Super NES version because the fact it kept the team battle royale option in it. So
that's fair.
The Genesis version is also a pretty good port. Issues aside, we already talked about of this game. So as a matter of fact, Video Games Magazine back in the day, gave the runner-up award of best arcade home translation to Super NES version of the game. So
okay.
The game reviewed pretty well when it came out, or when it came out back in the day. Game Informer gave 7 out of 10. Next Generation, that's the Genesis version that they bombed on. Digital Power gave it 3.47 out of 5. Video Games Computer Entertainment gave it 4 out of 5. Pretty good marks across the board. So, the reviewers also commented on pretty heavily, and I think maybe we made this point in passing. I just want to emphasize it because reviewers did. This is much more lighter fighting game. I.e., it's not as intense a fighting game as like the Mortal Kombat and Street Fighters are. Right. So I think they were commenting on the fact that this is a good intro game for people like in that genre. Because it is pretty easy to get the hang of. It's like, again, we complain about the controls, but as far as the actual gameplay and the mechanics to you, they're pretty simple, they're pretty direct, not a lot of options, not a lot of things to memorize. The action's fast and furious. I mean, the game speed, I'm not sure we've really mentioned this either. The game speed is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Compared to some sluggish fighting games, this is pretty like chop 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 action here in this game. A lot of reviewers commented at the time that this was a good introduction to fighting games for like people if they're curious in the genre.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Genesis version definitely got like more mixed reviews. Next Generation, who I mentioned before, kind of panned the Genesis version and recommended people get like WWF Raw instead. there actually is one game list I found. It actually has this game listed in the 100 best Super NES games on the system. So there's still some nostalgia or appreciation for this game for what it was, I guess. But so that's interesting. That's interesting to read. But anyway, for the most part, I enjoy this game. I mean, like, you know, gripes aside about the controls, I thought this game did a pretty good fighting game dressed in like a wrestling outfit approach to it. You know, graphics were good. The character sprites were large and deep with large detail. The game felt fast paced and furious. It was still fun to play. Despite the controls issues, despite the AI issues. I mean, yes, the arcade version is superior in every way. I'm not sure what happened to the home ports of this game. They're not terrible. They just don't have the fine tuned control that you might expect, especially from the Capcom. Because Capcom was a huge company at the time, so it's like to get this kind of a result from them was a bit surprising, I think. So we may recommend the arcade game. Well, at least I recommend the arcade version over the home version. But I think it's still a decent game to play even today because like I said, it is a very good pick up and play. Easy to master, kind of like a fighting game. When I think nowadays, again, Joe, you have more experience on this than I do, because you play more like modern-ish fighting games than I have. I think fighting games these days tend to be a lot more like complex.
Definitely.
So I think going back to an easier game like this, like felt really good in the hands.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I know you said that. You weren't hugely impressed by a few things in this game. What's your overall feeling like about this game? Do you think it's still like decent to play today? Like what?
Yeah, I mean it's decent, and like I said, if the arcade version wasn't able to be played at home, I would totally suggest this version of the game in all reality because it looks better than the Genesis version. It sounds better than the Genesis version. I recommend it. But again, I think if you want the, you know, penultimate experience, it's got to be the arcade.
Mm, yeah. No, I agree with you. Definitely. But cool. All right.
We're going to get into it, but I assume that this game is somewhat affordable where it is not affordable for the Genesis. This game's like $100 to $120 for the Genesis version. So.
Really? I did not look up Genesis pricing. I wonder why. Yeah, Super NES pricing definitely more down earth, at least in cart form. I wonder why the Genesis version is so much more expensive. Small print run, perhaps.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, but. There are some, you know, of course, like with fighting games, there are some glitches / codes present in the game. There's a way that you can skip ahead for most of the matches, by losing some fights on purpose. So that's kind of like works like a stage like kind of feature almost. You can temporarily increase your attack power in the game by going to top ropes and pushing the pin button. When a character turns red, he does more damage. I did find that in the game, by the way. I'm not sure if you saw that, but I
did not.
You can also cheat a bit more by pausing the game as your move lands, and then also add the amount of damage your character inflicts.
Okay.
We didn't mention this, but there are weapons in the game like as well too. So you are able to pick up a weapon and toss out of the ring if you want to as well to keep your AI from getting his hands on it if you want to.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it for like teaching codes. Yeah. eBay this game's fairly easy to find, and like I said, in car form at least, it's pretty affordably priced. I found 27 copies of this game on eBay at the time of doing research, that 34 copies of the game were recently sold. These prices include shipping as always. Carling prices, they sold anywhere from like $16 to $50, depending upon condition. So,
okay.
CIV copies, of course, a bit more expensive. Those range anywhere from $100 to $125. Not a bad game as far as as far as the pricing goes, like, at least in car form. And most people are like you, Jill. They have very favorable opinions about this game, like, still today. Whether or not they played it recently, who knows? But, you know, nostalgia is a powerful drug, so I'm not going to, like, blame anybody for saying that.
Right.
So. But anyway, that's pretty much it. I think this game, was fun playing. Definitely an interesting game to check out for sure. So, I think there's at least in the U.S. market at least one, maybe two more wrestling games we haven't covered yet. If we count Japanese games, there's a whole bunch more that we could look into, of course. But
right.
I think for the U.S. market, there's still like one or two left. So I'm sure we'll get to those at some point in the future.
Yep.
Anyway, that's about it for this episode. Joe's pick is coming up next on the next episode. What are we looking at next time, Joe?
I totally didn't look at the list, so sorry you caught me off guard.
Let me help you then. Sparkster.
Oh, okay. Sparkster's next. Cool. This is, one that I also played for the Genesis, and it happens to have a... I played Rocket Knight for the Genesis, which did not get a Super NES port, but the sequel, Sparkster, did, and that's what we'll be looking at. So I did forget that I nominated that game. So, yeah, it's going to be fun because we'll do more Sega Genesis comparisons.
Rocket Knight, I played before the Genesis. I enjoyed it. It's curious that the sequel made it over Super NES instead, but... was Sparkster also available in the Genesis?
Yes, it was. I was just going to say, if you have a way to do it, you should probably check out the modern remaster that they did. It's not great, yep. I'll tell you that. But, it's, at least they attempted to try to bring the franchise back. They just
Limited Run Games is doing Limited Run Games is doing like a special physical release of the game later on this year. So with the sequel too, I think I'm trying to remember the exact day what they include whether they're including of that. See if I can find it here like real quick. Yeah, here we go. It will include. I just had it here a moment ago. It will include Rocket Knight Adventures Resparked Ultimate Edition. Yep. Will include it includes Rocket Knight Adventures, Sparkster Rocket Knight Adventures 2, plus also Sparkster, so three games.
Okay. Not bad, not bad.
So, I assume the game we're playing is Sparkster. Is Sparkster the third game in the series?
So, Sparkster is technically the second, but it's the third. So, it goes Rocket Knight Adventures, then Sparkster Rocket Knight Adventures 2, and then Sparkster for the Super Nintendo was considered a spinoff, but it's essentially this. I mean, there's differences, but it's practically the same as the second.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I didn't realize. I forgot this is actually like a Konami game.
Yeah.
So, should be pretty good. because Capcom, Konami was firing off like cylinders during this time period. So, The physical edition sold out, by the way, folks, because they announced this months ago, and like, so I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that this like went already. So, but the game is available on Steam modern consoles. So anyway, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So let's wrap things up here. Thank you for listening on the podcast. We appreciate it very much. Feel free to feel free to find us on Facebook, or you can also send me an email directly to thesnespodcast@yahoo.com. Joe, where can they reach you at?
Yeah, you can reach me at anywhere on Facebook. You can find me. You can reach me on Twitter at joesux30. And then I, I'm going to plug it till the day I die. I have the Radical Rich Roundup podcast that I do. We are gearing to record a music episode on Weezer, which is going to cover the 30th anniversary of the Blue Album, which is about 2 months late, but, hey, you know, timing has never been my thing. So, yeah. And then we're also covering Muppet Babies after that. So,
right.
Yeah, we got a couple good episodes coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Definitely. So, alrighty, folks. We'll wrap things up here. Thank you again, always, for joining us. We appreciate it very much. Stay safe, everybody. Be well. We'll catch you again later on next time.
Bye.
Nintendo controls 80% of the video market. But no matter how you play the game, or which game you play, things definitely have come a long way since Pac-Man.
Now you're playing with power. Deep from power.